And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Thursday, June 4th, 2026. And the Buck and I are with y'all for the next 2 hours on today's show. The Spurs drop game one of the NBA Finals. Is there reason to panic? Also, Texas softball takes game one of the Women's College World Series Finals. Can the Longhorns close out Texas Tech tonight to win their second straight national title? We'll get to those stories. Got a little Longhorn football conversation, some more NFL chatter to dive into. Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 will join us for our weekly Longhorns Insider segment. And of course, the BBK news and why today's not so bad to wrap things up. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Thursdays with us. It's a Buck Off Thursday on the show, but buck on to y'all and a buck on to you, my man. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. Rain, going to get rain tomorrow. Going to get rain. There's percentages of rain, as I said, towards the weekend. We'll go up a little bit. Hopefully this stays, you know, we get a chance to have our daytimes, but looks like our early evenings and even early mornings, we're going to have rain. I mean, it jumps up into like the 60 and 70 and 80 percentile here at BK after today. So I'll just say this, grass looks good, looks green all over the place out here in Central Texas, but it can stop raining now. We can stop with that, man, as we got plenty of water, it seems like.
Well, here's the weather, or is it going to stop raining, or we've got more on the way?
We got more on the way. We got more on the way, but temperatures aren't, you know, temperatures still going to be in the 90s, but we got more rain on the way. So it's not over with. Even going into the weekend, even going all the way to possibly Monday, more rain. So you got the kids inside. Hey, they want to be inside. You know, they want to be at those computers. Those gamers want to be at that computer. So you want them, you got them.
Well, I'd like to be at the dish this weekend, and I'd like to not be dealing with weather delays this weekend.
There's a possibility of that, my friend.
Don't tell us that.
I hate to give you that news, but it's the weather says it's going to be raining here. You've got really good chances from here till Monday.
What's the farmer's almanac say? You're always an almanac guy. I haven't seen or heard you reference that in quite some time.
You know, the farmer's almanac said that we were going to get back into our normal type of weather patterns when it comes to summertime. I mean, with the temperatures, like being in the high 90s, you know, in late June. But it also said that we would have rain. We were getting the rain. No, Farmer's Almanac gave us some rain, BK. It didn't say that we're going to be in a drought situation. It said rain. And we've been getting that. And, you know, last spring at this time, remember, we still got a little bit of rain last spring. But this one, it seems like, has there been a weekend where it hadn't rained?
And the Farmer's Almanac is like that dumb groundhog. Don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, come on. You got to trust in that. I don't know if they, I don't think they're making that any longer. I am your Farmer's Almanac from this point on.
That's a scary threat right there.
Trust in your local weather.
Okay. I don't. Yeah. I never have it. I never will.
Well, trust in your local weather. You got me. You're going to have rain this weekend. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do to you and your families, to all of you out there. Please be safe.
Yes, indeed. Well, an early buck off to you. I mean, we already have a couple of comments from folks mad at you for picking the San Antonio Spurs in game one of the NBA Finals last night. You and your cousin had 100,000 units on the Spurs to cover the 4.5-point line at the Frost Bank Center down in San Antonio. Not only did the Spurs not cover, they did not win. New York rolls into the Alamo City and takes game one of the best of seven NBA finals by a final score of 105-95. The Knicks closed the game out on an 11-0 run to get the win. Wow, big win for them. New York has won 12 in a row.
And you're going to blame that dog effort by the Spurs on me?
I am. Of course I am. You put the hex on him, dude. Your power knows no bounds. All right. We talked about this last week. You originally had picked the Spurs to win game seven in Oklahoma City in the Western Conference. Yes. I was able to convince you on behalf of the people to change your Thunder. And because you picked the Thunder, the Spurs won that game. Last night, I tried to get you to change your mind again to take the Knicks to help out our friends in San Antonio and all of the great Spurs fans we have here in the Austin area. And you're like, nope. I got the Spurs. I don't care about the people. I hate all of our listeners and viewers. And you pick them and you cost them the opening game. Way to go.
Okay. How about if I help them out by I'll take the Knicks in six now, because this group yesterday, you're talking about stumbling on their own feet, tripping on your old thing there. My goodness, up 14 points. As I said in the beginning of the playoffs, is this a group that doesn't know how to take it and stick their foot on somebody's throat when they have them down? Well, they don't. And can Pop coach, because the guy that they have coaching right now when they're up by 14 still is chasing his big man out 30 feet and having their big man run right around him. I mean, I'm not going to blame it all on Wembanyama, but you, as you said before, he's got to play better than that. Yeah. And he's got to – I don't want him defending 30 feet away from the basket. His best plays are when he's around that basket and rebounding and blocking shots. Him playing 30 feet away – and having Cat bring him out there and then going right around him is bad. That looked terrible. That looked like a bad effort. I mean, Harper played well last night. I thought he was good. But between all of the Knicks looked pretty damn good. You know, everybody, they're shooting 36% and Spurs shooting 29% from threes. But at least the Knicks will stop taking threes. The damn Spurs at 29%, they don't stop taking threes. It's like, hey, can you get the ball down to the big guy in the paint? Well, you don't have to worry because he doesn't go in the paint.
Right. And that's something that probably can't be addressed until the offseason. Next year, Victor Wembanyama really has to use his 7'4", 7'5 frame more to his advantage. He doesn't need to stop playing on the perimeter altogether, but he's got to get more down low. He's got to play a little more back to the basket, because when he's down there, it feels like good things always happen. And yes. I know, you know, Spurs fans are like, oh, that's just not what he's done. That's not how we got here. He's a freaking cheat code. He already is a cheat code anywhere on the floor, but he becomes even more unstoppable when he's closer to the hoop, because there's nobody who can match his length in the league, in the world. But that's like a golfer, you know, you can't fix your swing in the middle of the round. You got to go to the range and work on some things afterwards to get it all cleaned up. That's something that needs to probably be addressed in the offseason. But there's a lot of things that Wemby can do and that the Spurs can do a hell of a lot better. Because I don't think the Knicks played that great last night. That's the scary part. Didn't. The Knicks did not play great last night, and they went into your house and won by double digits. Now, I know that the double digits feels like a farce, but they went in and stole a game and stole home court. And it's not like they played their A game and you just didn't have it. They were sloppy. They had some turnovers. They didn't shoot the ball all that well. Jalen Brunson got hurt twice, had to leave the game, so he wasn't 100%, and they still found a way to beat you. So that was not a great showing by the Spurs.
No, I wish I could say you had somebody who can guard Jalen Brunson, but they don't. That guy's taking everybody. It doesn't matter what the matchup is. That guy, if he wants a spot on the court, he's going to get his spot. I mean, he's tenacious, that dude. He just doesn't stop. He just wills himself that I'm getting to this spot. You can't cover me. I'm going through this pick. If you go around this pick, goodbye. You know, he looks like the best basketball player on the court right now.
Yeah, he was last night. And that's what makes superstars, right? Because Jalen Brunson didn't have a great shooting game. I mean, he was 12 of 31, just 2 of 9 from 3. Like, it was far from his most efficient performance. But in the final couple of minutes, in crunch time, he makes the big plays. I mean, the biggest play, and when the Spurs were up 95-94, San Antonio was down 8 in the fourth quarter. They had that huge third quarter lead, up by 14 at one point. The Knicks came all the way back. They tied it going into the fourth, and then New York took an 8-point lead midway through the fourth. And then the Spurs go on a 9-0 spurt, and it's like, oh, here they go. Like, they're playing at home. Wemby's about to take over and will his team to a win here. And then Jalen Brunson, the biggest play, the Knicks down 1. They missed a shot. He tips the offensive rebound out. He's the smallest guy on the floor. Yep. Amongst the trees, he's able to tip an offensive rebound out to Mikal Bridges, and then he runs to the corner. Bridges finds him in the corner. He gets there before any Spurs defender can. He hits that 3, the go-ahead bucket. The Knicks never trailed again. Like, if you're a superstar player, Jalen Brunson is, you can have off nights, but when you absolutely need to be right, you're right. And that's what he was down the stretch.
Yeah, and they did a really good job rebounding too. Both teams rebounded okay. But Hart is the guy. I mean, you're talking the heart and soul of a team. My goodness, that guy does everything. He only had 3 points last night, but he had 15 rebounds.
Well, that's that, like Wimby, and look, Wimby wants it. I don't like questioning effort and wants it more. But you know, we talked about Wimby after the Spurs beat Oklahoma City, saying like, "This is the defining moment of my life." He calls it the Larry O'Brien, not the Larry O'Brien, which is hilarious to me. He's French. I'll give him a pass. But like Josh Hart plays like he's gonna die if he doesn't win a championship.
Yeah, he's the guy who plays that way. You're right.
Like Jigsaw's there watching, and he's like, "I'm going to kill you if you don't win this championship. If you don't get that loose ball, you're dead. If you don't get that rebound, you're dead." Like, that's the way – and he's played that way since Villanova, and he does that in the league. And, yeah, that guy was massive for the Knicks last night.
Yeah, he was on the boards. He was on those boards every loose. And he said, you know, and he was right. He said, if I didn't get three early fouls, I probably should have had 20-some rebounds easily.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. I got three cookies on me.
He was fantastic last night. 3 points. It's hard to impact the game with just 3 points, but 15 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals, a block. He was plus 22. He had the best plus minus of any player on the floor for either team. The Knicks were plus 22 with Josh Hart on the court last night.
And it wasn't just Castle turning the ball. Everybody, Wimby was turning it over. That's just the wrong times.
Yeah, they just didn't make the plays they needed to make down the stretch. And Mitch Johnson, we'll have to talk about this in more detail. And we'll get into some Longhorn softball conversation. Y'all chill. Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 is going to join us here in a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the game, and we'll talk plenty of Texas softball. But Mitch Johnson had a rough go. And I got to give you some credit, Buck, because we had Carl Schoening on yesterday. And you asked about the coaching battle between Mike Brown and Mitch Johnson. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I kind of rolled my eyes. I'm like, man, Mitch is really good. Mike Brown's the bum here. Mitch is awesome. Mike Brown coach circles around Mitch Johnson. You could say some of the Spurs players had some jitters, first finals game, whatever. Mitch Johnson looked like it was the first game he's ever coached in his life yesterday.
Yeah, it did. It did.
He was – where's Dylan Harper? Dylan Harper was the best player for San Antonio. He played 3 minutes and 33 seconds in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, De'Aaron Bum is out there being a bum. He was awful.
Yeah, I mean, Harper finds a way to get to the basket. He's like Hart. He should be that guy. He should be the guy with 15 rebounds, you know, but he should be more involved offensively. But like I said, I just thought I thought the Spurs watching them, it was fast break. You know, they got off, they wanted to go fast early, but just Wimby so far away from the basket is just no good, because Karl Anthony Towns can put the ball on the, you know, he can dribble well enough to get around Wimby. Wimby had the one block on him. Other than that, that dude got around him, and he got around everybody that tried to cover him.
Yeah, Towns was
so
great.
I'm going to make that guy make his shots, and I'm not saying he can't shoot threes, but last night their rate was like 30-some percent. I'm going to make him make more than one. I'm going to make him make a couple from out there. I'm not going to run out there. Because there's nobody to protect the rim. If Wimby's out there, there's no rim protection. And the guys from the Knicks, though, they go to the boards hard.
Yeah, no, it's not the best defensive matchup for the Spurs, right? And that's what Oklahoma City did, with Alex Caruso, who's not nearly as good as Karl Anthony Towns. But, like, when Wimby was guarding Caruso, it was advantage Thunder because Caruso pulled him out of the paint. Right. And with Karl Anthony Towns, who's a seven-footer, who shoots 37% from three. He didn't make one last night, but he is a very solid and very capable three-point shooter. Like, yes. Wemby's got to respect that. So he's got to get dragged out of the paint. I mean, the Knicks had 50 points in the paint last night.
I know. 50.
You don't see that against the Spurs very often because everyone's so scared with that big alien around.
No, make that dude make those threes. He's going to have to make more than one or two. You can't panic if he makes them, but you can't run out there 30 feet away. Because your group is just getting crushed in the paint. That's those other big characters for the Knicks getting it done. Hey, I don't know. Maybe they were tired. I don't know. I don't like when they get off to these 14-point leads. And you look at it, and I know it's the NBA and everybody, you know, Carl talked about it yesterday. People will come back on you. But, dude, there's got to be a time where you get out to a lead and you're this team right here and this young, that you stomp them. I mean, 14 becomes 30, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Because when it did get to 14 midway through the third, like the Knicks missed a couple of shots. The Spurs had a chance to get it to 20. It felt like they should have gotten to 20. I don't know about 30, but they, you know, they could have really stepped on the gas and kind of turned this into a comfortable win, but they couldn't. And we saw, shoot, what happened last night, that pales in comparison to what the Knicks did against the Cavs. Remember, they were down 22 in the fourth quarter in game one against Cleveland and came back and won. So
it's also a team that's been on the road. They've won six games by over what? By double digits on the road in the playoffs. I mean, they
seven in a row.
It doesn't bother them.
No, that's the most. That's an NBA record. The Knicks have won. And again, calling last night's win a double-digit win feels cheap, but they did win by 10, so it counts. But they have won seven straight road playoff games by 10 or more, which is an NBA playoff record. Nobody else has done that. So, yeah, and the Spurs got to play a hell of a lot better. We're not telling anybody anything they don't know. We'll let you hear from the players on both sides and Mitch Johnson, and we'll talk more about this a little bit later. But, yeah, rough showing for San Antonio, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, we await Chip Brown of Horns247.com. If you're mad we haven't talked softball, blame him. He's late. But before we chop it up with Chip, Buck, how about a quick round of sponsor shout-outs?
Go to our friends over at Relax-A-Back. I'm sitting in my Relax-A-Back chair. Got in my ice tub yesterday, but nothing's as good as this chair right here, brother. Nothing as good as this Relax-A-Back chair. I absolutely love it. Zero gravity recliners available for you. Adjustable mattress sets, Tempur-Pedic pillows and mattresses there, human scale office chairs, desk, and all the accessories that you're looking for. If you've got trouble with your thoracic, lumbar, shoulders, your hip area, please go to our friends at Relax the Back and find something that's going to help you heal and recover. They have two locations. One is at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center, right across the street from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the Buck at Relax the Back.
Yes, indeed. Love my Relax the Back chair. Need to go see them at some point very soon. Maybe a weekend play. Getting a new accessory from Relax the Back. Love them. Also love CentexTickets.com. Hey, game two in San Antonio tomorrow night. If you want to be there, Centex Tickets has you covered. The Austin Super Regional coming up this weekend. Maybe you want a road trip to Oklahoma City for game two of the Women's College World Series Finals. You want a ticket to get into Devon Park, Centex Tickets has you covered. Super easy to use. Log on from your phone or computer. Find the event you want. Get your tickets. Enter the promo code CENTEX10 at checkout, and you're going to get 10% off. No one's giving discounts on tickets these days. You're really not getting discounts on NBA Finals tickets these days. You see the price of those things? Centex Tickets giving you 10% off. Use that promo code CENTEX10, and they will take care of you. We love them. There we go to get our tickets. You should too. CentexTickets.com. All right. There it is. See the man. The man, the myth, the legend. The best Texas Longhorns insider in the history of the known universe. The great Chip Brown of Horns247.com. Joining us here, our weekly Chop It Up with Chip. Brought to you by our great friends at Cover 3. C. Breezy, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
Just another day in the world of sports, Chip. And another win for the Texas Longhorns softball team.
How about that? How about that? I mean, if you look at this matchup on paper, Texas Tech, you look at their stats, you look at they've hit, you know, 30 more home runs than Texas has. They've got a better ERA. They've got, you know, everything. I was told by a big money guy who knows the big money guys at Texas Tech that they spent 10 times what Texas is spending on their roster. And it's not Cody Campbell. It's John Sellers, who's Cody Campbell's business partner. John Sellers' wife, Tracy, played softball at Texas Tech from 2000 to 2003. Her name is on the stadium at Texas Tech. It's Tracy Sellers Field. She's the reason that they're spending so much money on softball. And they spent all that money before the house settlement went into effect so that they wouldn't get, you know, caught up in the whole, you know, $20.5 million cap And so you've got, you know, this all-star team, dream team was the quote that I was told that Texas Tech has put together. And last night, everything Jerry Glasgow did seemed to backfire. You know, he starts Caitlin Terry when Nyjah Kennedy is tied for the most wins in Women's College World Series history with 11. You know, they pitched to Katie Stewart. Katie smashed it out of the park. You know, he plays Desiree Spearman in left field when she hasn't played there in over a week. She didn't play there against Alabama. Ashton Maloney hits a ball. She totally misplays it. Should have made the out. It turns into a two RBI triple. And then he, you know, puts Nyjah Kennedy in, but because they don't hit home runs, he pulls her out, burns her for the night, and says in the third inning to Holly Rowe, "I got to save her for tomorrow." When his team scored 8 runs in the bottom of the 7th to come back and win a regional game against Ole Miss. Like, this is one of the most explosive offensive teams in Texas Tech. Last night was not a good night for Jerry Glasgow and Texas Tech. We'll see. You know, we'll see how Nyjah Kennedy does tonight, because she sure looks like, you know, her enthusiasm is less than, if that's a kind way to put it.
Yeah, she was very excited last year playing against Texas. She looked, when she didn't start last night, she didn't look great when she came out to the mound like, okay, I'm going to stop all of this. She looked like, why am I not on the mound? Like you said, why am I not the one taking the mound against Texas after last year, you know, right off the bat? Was that unusual? Did you think that was just a unusual play by their manager last night?
Well, I could see where, God bless America, I got like a.
Are you on a train? Where are you?
Hold on 1 second here. I thought it was going to be a nice, somewhere. Quiet chance to to talk to you guys, but good heavens, it sounds like the earth is moving.
What are they cutting grass out there?
They're actually cutting into the earth.
Oh.
But, you know, you look at Nyjah Kennedy's record against Texas. It's not great.
No.
In fact, Tegan Kavan is 8-0 against Nyjah Kennedy teams. And so, you know, when you look at that, I could see where Jerry Glasgow was saying, "Hey, you know, let's throw the lefty. Let's throw Caitlin Terry. She's 24-2 and has a sub-2 ERA." I mean, it just didn't work. Texas had an answer for everything, and you're getting hits, timely hits now from, you know, Reese Atwood, from you know, Kaya Altmaier, from Vivi Martinez is hitting. Hannah Wells has been outstanding. And, you know, she's eating ladybugs for good luck.
There you go.
And, I mean, how about that? But, yeah, kind of gross. I'm like, does she at least stick it in peanut butter first? You know,
just put it in her mouth. They're out in the field. Just put it in your mouth and swallow.
Right, right. But tonight's going to be fun because, you know, Texas Tech is 4-0 in elimination games this postseason. Of course, Texas is 6-0 in elimination games. And, you know, do we see Citlali Gutierrez? Because I thought she was the story of the semifinals. Her performance against Tennessee, you know, giving up 1 earned run in 6 2/3. She was fantastic. And I thought she really inspired her teammates and inspired Tegan Kavan to come out and throw this complete game shutout that she threw in the second game of that semifinal. So, yeah, last night, wow. And Katie Stewart, what can you say? I mean, 4 straight games, 4 straight World Series games with a home run all off of All-Americans, you know, off of Jordy Fromm, off of, you know, Carlin Pickens, off of Sage Marjetko. And last night off of Caitlin Terry, she's not hitting home runs off of, you know, the third and fourth starters. These are all Americans. And Katie Stewart's been unbelievable.
Yeah, she has been. And all of those home runs in elimination games. So Texas has really needed them. Chip Brown of Horns247.com joining us here on Bucky and BK, brought to you by our friends at Cover 3. Well, Chip, you kind of referenced the next question I was going to ask you, right? The Longhorns have this one-game lead. They've got two games to win one. They're in the driver's seat here. History is on their side. If you're Mike White, or maybe, you know, try to predict what Mike White's going to do, do you go back to Teagan tonight, knowing how dominant she's been in the Women's College World Series, knowing how good she's been against Nyjah Kennedy and Texas Tech? Do you try to end this thing tonight, or do you start sit Lolly Gutierrez, who was great on Monday against Tennessee, and maybe hope she can get you some innings? Like, what's the strategy that you think we'll see, and what's the strategy maybe that you would do if you were Coach White?
I think you have to go with sit Lolly Gutierrez, because they saw 115 pitches from Teagan Kavan last night. You know, the hitters are going to go back. They're going to look at the film and they're going to say, okay, here are her patterns. Here's what she was doing against me for her out pitch. You know, you bring in Citlali Gutierrez, who is a pitcher on the Mexican national team, who's been in big high profile games with Texas as well. She's a drop ball pitcher. She's going to keep the ball low in the zone and pitch to contact. And Texas's defense, even though it was really bad, against Tennessee in that first game of the semifinal, it should have been five errors, not four. Really could have been six, because Asha Maloney booted a ball out in right field that allowed another run to score. But I think you go with Citlali Gutierrez, because first of all, she's super confident. She pitches to contact. She's not going to give up home runs. If she's going to give up anything, it's going to be a single, you know, through the middle, through the left or right side. And you can live with that. You know, Teagan Kavan was bringing it last night. You know, like Justin Verlander is going to give up home runs. He's a fastball pitcher. They're going to make contact at some point, and then it's going to be out of the park. That's why Teagan Kavan doesn't get worked up when she gives up a home run, because she knows you're going to time it up right. You're going to hit one of my, you know, 69, 70 mile an hour rise balls out of here. And I can live with that. I think Citlali, you know, she's going to, you know, it's kind of like Dylan Volantis. Okay, she's not that good, but she's going to keep the ball low in the zone and pitch to contact. And I think, you know, Texas's defense has been pretty good these last couple games.
Yeah, I think they need to show more Texas players and coaches. Then I don't want to see the Texas Tech head coach any longer with his face up against the fence making mistakes. I don't understand why a group that's so talented on defense is back so far when Texas gets like seven infield hits. And their defense, if that ball hits the ground twice off that bat, you know, off the bat, they're at first base. Everybody on this team seems to be fast enough. Even Katie Stewart. I mean, they get down that line so quick, this baseball team, that any balls that hit on the ground and take two hops, they're there. You can forget about throwing them off on two hops. If you don't get it on the first hop, they're gone. But their defense continued to stay back. Third baseman stayed back. Shortstop played way back. I couldn't understand that. You know, he's such a strategist. I mean, that strategy was horrible last night. And what was it, Chip? Was it five infield hits or six infield hits? They got six infield hits on him last night.
Yeah, six infield hits, 16 infield hits for the Women's College World Series. I mean,
wow.
You're right. If they hit something on the ground, you know, to the left side, it's a single with their speed. You know, JC Nichols, Caden Henry, Vivi Martinez, they get down the line. Asha Maloney. So, it's been impressive. It's been really impressive. And I just think Texas sensed the moment. I mean, Tech has the revenge factor. Tech has, you know, the confidence of being this all-star team that no one wanted to play in conference play. That's why they're such a low seed, because their RPI was low. No one wanted to play them. You know, they lost some games they probably shouldn't have lost, which kind of negated the games that they, the impressive games that they won. So they're an 11 seed and everyone's talking about, oh, wow, they're so impressive for 11 seed. This is one of the best three teams in college softball, Texas Tech. I mean, from a talent perspective, And so let's see what they've got, and let's see how Jerry Glasgow reaches his team. Because he said himself in the press conference on Wednesday that it hasn't been easy, you know, getting this team to gel. He talked about how Williams doesn't trust men. And so he had to work extra hard to establish a personal relationship with her. I'm like, gosh, that's kind of a personal note to just throw out there to the masses. But yeah, let's see what Texas Tech has tonight, because Texas smells it now. And
yes.
And the winner of game one, you know, has won the national championship 80% of the time. So, you know, Tech's got to show us what they've, you know, what they've got.
Yeah. Chip Brown, Horns247.com, joining us here on Bucky and BK. Well, it's perfect timing that these two schools are meeting in softball because of all of the back and forth that has gone on between the coaches of the football teams. Obviously, Steve Sarkisian and Joey McGuire. You know, Sark with the comments at the Houston Touchdown Club a week ago. McGuire has doubled and tripled and quadrupled down. And Cody Campbell and Kirby Hocutt all talking smack about Texas. I know you've done some digging on this back and forth. Just would love to kind of get your thoughts on the latest with Texas and Texas Tech and all the ridiculousness that's surrounding these two universities at this time.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta love Sark. I mean, he's confident right now. He's confident in his team, so he's running his mouth a little bit. And good for Tech to, you know, clap back with, we'll buy out everybody's opening season opponent and we'll go play at Jerry World. You know, none of that's gonna happen, but it's good. It's good sound bites at this time of year when nothing's going on. So, but look, you know, I think people, like, if it's a PR battle, Tech won. You know, people are like, okay, yeah, look at Tech. They're challenging Texas to a fight. And Texas isn't saying anything. Okay, great. You won the WWE, you know, smack off or whatever. But if these teams are both what they're supposed to be, then they'll meet in the college football playoff, and that's where it should be decided. Because Texas isn't going to cancel a home game to go play some neutral site game against a school they never want to play again. You know, so it's good theater, but this softball game gets dragged into it because it's Texas and Texas Tech, and it was just. Steve Sarkisian and Joey McGuire. So it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. Softball's going to, you know, have a say in this too. And if Texas Tech, you know, I heard Pat McAfee saying, if Texas Tech beats Texas in the Women's College World Series, then what Joey McGuire said is only going to get louder. And, you know, it's fun. It's good stuff. It's what fans want. It's what makes the games, you know, it's what makes college athletics so great. Is the fandom, the passion. We all know it's more passionate than the NFL game, and it, you know, it's good stuff. And it's
for us, Chip, for you, myself, BK, we'd love to play Texas Tech only if it's in Austin. I'm not going to Jerry World or out in the parking lot, but Texas would beat them in the parking lot with their twos and threes. Like Sark says, I believe that would happen. But Joey McGuire and all this bull that he's throwing out right now is only a distraction about his cheating quarterback that threw himself on his own sword to make everybody think, oh, I've got this incredible problem. Help me, please. I was going to make $5 million. Please help me. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I got caught. That's what it is. I'm sorry I got caught because I was still doing it when I was on your campus. I mean, the whole thing about the distraction of what Texas Tech is throwing out there. They want to make college football think that Texas is afraid to play them, and Texas plays nobody every year. While they've got guys that they're paying millions of dollars who are gambling 50 cents a pop on balls and strikes, and they're trying to make the guy seem like a hero because he's got this addiction. Let's help this kid grow. That's such a bunch of bull.
Yeah, I mean, that story is top 10. I mean, it's like, yeah. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, the one thing you know you cannot do, or
yes,
you have to know, is you can't bet on the games. You sure can't bet on your own games. I mean, does he know a guy named Pete Rose? I mean, it's unbelievable. And you're right. This is a great distraction right now from the fact that, you know, Brendan Sorsby is on the outside looking in on this football season when Tech thought, hey, we're going back to the college football playoff.
And you know, Chip, and I hate, you know, I think everybody deserves a second chance. Some guys get third chances. Sometimes people don't get any chances. You're just done. Not everybody gets a first chance, but for some odd reason, I don't know why it is in me. And generally I would fall and say, yeah, give that kid a chance. I'm almost to the point of, for college football's sake, we can't give them all chances. You know what I mean? Slow this train down a little bit. You know, I know. Yeah.
He'll get a second chance in the supplemental draft in the NFL. Yeah,
that's true. He does get it. It's not like his football career is over with. I mean, right. He could leave there and still an NFL team that wants to give him a chance would take a chance on. So maybe it's not all of that. I just think college football needs to slow the train down where the kids get all the say, and now they get to play until they're, you know, 37 years old. I mean, when does it stop?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And look, I had a college roommate who was into gambling. That's no joke. I mean,
oh, no.
It is, you know, he went to Gamblers Anonymous and had to change his way of life. And I mean, he was hosting blackjack games in our rent house, and I'm like getting up to go to work, and he's still dealing blackjack from the night before, and I'm like, oh god, this is not gonna end well. So yeah, I mean, there are points where you have to say, you know what, you need to go spend some time figuring your life out,
right,
before we free you up to go make $5 million after you showed us you had no ability to contain your own actions. So yeah, you're right. There's got to be a line where if you cross it, you got to sit out.
Yeah. Chip Brown of Horns247.com joining us here on Bucky and BK. Got something to follow up there, Buck?
Yeah, I just said there's just got to come a time where, you know, BK doesn't want to give him any. He's not getting any sympathy from BK. He's getting absolutely none.
It's cut and dry. I'm not like saying something that shouldn't happen. There's already precedent here. This is not an unprecedented situation.
Right.
Like, there are rules in place. He broke the rules. He's got to be punished for doing that the way other people who have done that get punished.
Yes. And this is the one instance where you have to make an example.
I agree. Mean,
it was ridiculous that the NCAA was even talking about, you know, legalizing gambling for student athletes. That was like the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. You, first of all, make sure these kids have financial training, you know, about how to pay taxes and the value of investing your money, you know, before you turn them loose to go, you know, play a losing game by gambling. So, and in this case, you have to make an example. I mean, the kid bet on his own games. Sorry, Brendan Sorsby, you were the idiot that got caught. You're going to have to be the, you know, it's like I went to SMU. They got the death penalty because at that time, everyone was cheating and they had to drop a nuke on somebody to get the point across that if you do this, you could lose your whole program. And everyone was doing it, but SMU got caught and they lost their whole program. Brendan Sorsby, you are the SMU.
Yeah, this group just wants to tell you that because the kid turned himself in, because we as a group turned him in. That guy wasn't going to turn himself in. He just got caught.
Right. And I'm seeking therapy. I'm going to be, you know, I'll be a new man soon.
No.
That's crazy. Yeah. All right, last question for me. Chip Brown of Horns247.com joining us here. The summer transfer enrollees, Chip, Lawrence Seymour, Darius Snow, Nick Hudson, Paris Patterson. I think Lawrence Seymour is kind of the guy that most Texas fans are paying attention to. He's got the opportunity to be this team starter at left guard. And those guys have now been in Austin and on campus for a couple of weeks now. Anything you're hearing about those guys as they finally get to the ATX?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, Lawrence Seymour is a guy who they're counting on. He's got over 1,300 snaps of college experience. You know, when you consider that they had a couple of guards that they put out there last year with zero college snaps of experience going into the season, in Connor Stroh and Nick Brooks. You got to think that, you know, the most important thing right now, and from what I'm hearing, is the bonding aspect. You know, hey, Lawrence and the offensive line, get to know each other, go bowling, go do some stuff. Get to know each other, build that bond, because once you hit the field, there's got to be a relationship there. There's got to be a comfort level there, a trust there, that's going to allow this offensive line to come together and communicate well. Because he knows what to do. He just needs to know who he's doing it with at this point.
Yeah, I like
Chip,
it.
Chip, my last question for you. For all the SEC meetings that went on last week, are we going to go to 24 by December? Are they going to have will the SEC main man have it all said and done by December? Are we looking at staying 12, 16, I mean 14? What are we doing? We're not jumping to 24 right away. Does he still wield that kind of power, or is the Big Ten going to win out in this?
I think we're going to sit still for a minute because Greg Sankey's digging in. You know, he said, hey, that conference championship game is too valuable to us. Both literally and figuratively.
Yep.
And so I think Greg Sankey's going to slow this process down, and everyone will have to, you know, reconsider for another year.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Chip, you in a golf locker room? Now I have to ask.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Are you playing around today at least?
No, I had to come. I came over to Great Hills for a meeting, and I could step outside and do the radio interview, and they're like tearing up the golf course.
How are the new digs at Great Hills? I know they're redoing the place. How is that looking?
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming together. They're kind of messing with the tennis courts, is why I had to come up here.
I see.
Like, hey, don't mess with the damn tennis courts.
There you go.
Hurting golf and tennis. You can't have both of them taken away from you. Well, Chip, that was great. We appreciate your flexibility, literally walking during the interview. That's professional work right there. Much appreciated, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll chop it up next week.
Thanks, right, Chip. Fellas.
Hey, thank appreciate you.
All right, there he goes. Chip Brown, Horns247.com, the best Longhorns insider in the game, and our weekly Chop It Up with Chip segment is brought to you by our friends at Cover 3, the best sports bar in the game. That's a perfect combination. The best Longhorns insider, the best sports bar here in Central Texas. Go see our friends at Cover 3 on Anderson Lane, just east of Mopac. All the TVs, all the great drinks, the social hour menu, the great food. That's what really separates Cover 3 from the other sports bars around town. Their food is next level. It's not just your typical nachos and wings and pizza, and that's all they got. Now, they've got something for everyone. Great fish tacos. The Sean Adams prime rib sandwich is spectacular. The brick chicken mac and cheese. They've got steak on the menu. Seriously, it's fantastic. Go out and see them. You're looking for a place to watch the game tonight, Texas softball game tonight. I'm looking for a place to watch the NBA Finals. Any sporting event that we've got, go see our great friends at Cover 3 on Anderson Lane. It's Cover 3, dining, spirits, sports.
And our good friend, of course, Matt King, is on his journey, 2,000-mile journey from Mexico to Canada. He was in Kansas yesterday, BK.
Yes.
Still on the ride, doing it strong. And he would love for you to still continue to help him by going to therideproject.com and giving, because he's giving all the money that he gets from you, he's giving it away along that ride, a 2,000-mile ride, as I said, from Mexico all the way to Canada. And along the way, he's going to give it to communities who need it, and he's going to give it to folks face-to-face. He's getting to meet a lot of folks. The company that he's working with is meeting these people, and if they need something, Matt King is willing to give it to them, not just from the state of Texas, but every state in the union. So, folks, go to therideproject.com and continue to give to this guy's journey for sure.
He is in Nebraska.
There you go. Husker land.
He is more than halfway through his journey.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he was at 1,150 miles at the start of the day.
And you can join him with 150 miles to go, BK. Join in on that ride.
You want me to like fly up to South Dakota and just do the rest?
Get that, stroke it up to Canada. Still kind of cool up that way.
I think I'd rather stroke it up to Canada. What does that mean?
There you go. You can haul it up to Canada, whatever you got to do.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd rather bike 150 miles than fly to South Dakota for anything.
There you go.
I have no interest in going up there. TheRideProject.com, great cause, great person, and he's already given away tons of the money that's been raised. If you want to support this great cause, again, TheRideProject.com for more information. I'll tell you what, when he gets done with that trip, Matt's going to need him an Altstadt beer or 100.
Yeah, or 100. Yeah, you're right.
Like, I don't work that hard with this job, but I feel like I need an Altstadt at the end of every day. You can bike 2,000 miles across the country. You've earned a couple of Altstadts. Yes, yeah. Look, whatever you do out there, you've earned a couple of Altstadts, right? You make it to the end of another long day, another long week. You deserve a great beer. Altstadt is the best beer there is all across the great state of Texas. My choice should be yours as well. It's brewed locally in Fredericksburg. Easy to find your favorite grocery stores, liquor stores, bars, and restaurants. They all carry Altstadt, and they've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. Altstadt was named Brewery of the Year in the state of Texas back in February. They're putting out award-winning beers each and every day. The lager is my personal favorite. They've got a Kolsch, they've got a Pils, they've got a Hef, they've got a Light, they've got a summer seasonal peach Radler, which is made with juice from real Fredericksburg peaches. Super refreshing. I'm not really a fruit beer guy, but this stuff hits the spot every single time. Great way to cool down on these red hot June days here in the Lone Star State. Get you some the next time you're at any place that sells beer. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
And of course, our friends over at Sue Patrick and SuePatrick.com. Jay and the gang since 1975. Tons of Texas themed items, books, gifts. Hey, got my anniversary card from Sue Patrick's the other day for my wife. 8 years today. 8 years, Juneau, Alaska. Wow, that's right.
Ooh, hold Mary on here. Hold yes, on Mary. Here. I got to put you on blast for a moment, if I may.
Okay.
And this is in no way, shape, or form a shout at our friends at Sue Patrick. I'm rocking a Sue Patrick lid today. If anything, it's the opposite. Like, our friends, a little behind the scenes here for our great audience. Our friends at Sue Patrick, they hook you and I up with a nice discount whenever we shop there.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So you're telling me and everybody else that you skimped on your wife's anniversary gift?
Oh, no, I had to pay full freight for the card.
You went half off on your wife's?
I did not. No, I did not go half. I got a very nice card that, you know, I say stuff and I call her a pack mule because she can lift a lot of stuff with my bad back. I got a card that had two meals on it. One was me and one was her. So she was very delighted that I made myself a jackass. You know what I'm saying? In the card. And they have very lovely cards at Sue Patrick. They've got plenty of parking spaces, 5222 Bernard Road. Go on by there. I mean, they got cards of all sorts, BK. Mother's Day cards, Father's Day card, birthday, anniversary cards. Hey, I don't even know if they have the funeral cards for dude to fill out of the casket. I don't know if they've got those sympathy cards. They may even have those there at Sue Patrick. But everything at Sue Patrick is absolutely fantastic. Sneakers, luggage, the whole works. My favorite hat, of course, I got from Sue Patrick. For more information, go to SuePatrick.com. And no, I did not skimp on the card. I wasn't looking for a 20% a half off. I paid full freight for that card. I get enough of good stuff. I get dishes from them. I get cookware from them.
Oh, yeah. No, we love Sue Patrick. We're big customers, and obviously we love doing shows out there, and we'll be out there. Hopefully we'll be selling some Texas softball national championship gear.
Oh, you better get those ready. Better get those shirts ready.
In the not-too-distant future. Love our friends at Sue and Patrick.
Father's Day, the polos. Gotta get those golf polos.
Right around the corner. All right, well, let's continue the Texas softball conversation. Obviously heard Chip's thoughts on the Longhorns taking down Texas Tech 7-3 in game one.
Do you have any thoughts on their coaching? Do you have any thoughts on their coach? Are you sick of seeing that face?
Well, I am sick of ESPN showing Jerry Glasgow 8 times every inning. Like, we don't need to see that guy after every pitch. Like, I think they showed Mike White once or twice during the entire
broadcast. I think twice.
And I don't think Mike White cares at all. Doesn't bother him. But they just kept showing Jerry Glasgow looking lost, looking defeated, looking humiliated. Which, look, in one sense, I'm glad he's losing, right? But in another sense, I don't need to see that guy's quadruple chin 400 times.
Through the fence, game. Through the gate there?
Like, I don't need to see Mike Elko 400 times during every Aggie football game. I don't need to see Jerry Glasgow that often on my screen, all right?
You're saying he's round-shouldered?
I'm just saying he's not Brad Pitt. He might have eaten Brad Pitt.
Oh, my God.
All right, now that one was mean. That was too far. I apologize for that one.
That was mean.
But look, if he was George Clooney or Brad Pitt or something, then all right, sure, show him, whatever. I don't need to see that guy as often as we did last night, you know?
Yeah, between he and Kennedy, I haven't enough of them over the last 2 years, seeing their pictures come up on the screen. They're showing her tying her shoelace. I mean, it doesn't matter. She better not put her finger in her nose or spit in the dugout because they're going to catch her.
You're right. You are right. Well, look, with Jerry Glasgow, if I'm a Texas Tech fan, thank goodness I'm not too smart to go to that school, I'm furious with the head coach. And maybe Tech wins these next 2 days, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter. But if Texas Tech goes on to lose this series, whether it's tonight or whether it's tomorrow night, hopefully there is no game tomorrow. I don't need to watch any more softball beyond today. I'll wait until the 2027 season to watch college softball. I'll support the Volts in the Pro League here in town.
There you go.
But if Texas Tech goes on to lose this series, the absurdly cocky decision that Glasgow made not starting Nyjah Kennedy yesterday.
Yes.
That's something, if I'm a Tech fan, I'm going to remember forever. Now I get it. Caitlin Terry's really good.
And all the two-headed American.
Monster. Yeah, the two-headed monster of Terry and Kennedy. That's been a huge part of Tech success all season long and a big reason why they got to this championship series. But Nyjah Kennedy's better. We all know that Nyjah Kennedy's better. And it's disrespectful to Texas, and it's cocky and brash and stupid and idiotic to go into game one of a best of three, even in a right. best of seven, I'd be like, what are you doing? Not pitching your ace in game one. That's dumb. Nobody would do that in softball. Nobody would do that in baseball. In a best of three, where the winner of game one goes on to win 80% of the time to yes. be like, I don't need to throw our best pitcher to start the game. Like, we'll throw our number two. She'll get a few innings in. She's going to be great. And then we'll go to our best pitcher. That's absurd. Against Katie Stewart, and this Texas offense, the defending champs who beat you last year. I mean, look, I'm a Longhorns fan, so I'm glad he did it. But that was so freaking dumb by him. It might have just gifted. Maybe the Longhorns would have won even if Kennedy started. But I don't think they're scoring five runs in the first inning. They put the game away in the first yesterday. They don't yes. do that, I don't think, if Kennedy's in the circle. That was such a cocky and idiotic move by their head coach. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't, you know, before the game, I, you know, they were both warming up, and I'm thinking, why is the little lefty warming? What is she warming up for? She's not going to be starting this game. She ended up starting the game, and that totally surprised me. And I know she's an All-American too this year.
She's very good. Don't get me wrong. She is very good, but she's not as good. Like, it's maybe a little different. Like, Caitlin Terry was better than Citlali Gutierrez this year from a statistical standpoint, but like, how crazy would it have been if Mike White started Sit Gutierrez last night?
Yeah, that would have been nuts.
Like, how crazy would it be on Friday of the Austin Super Regional for Texas baseball, or Saturday, excuse me, it's Saturday through Monday, if it's Luke Harrison instead of Dylan Dalantis in game one? Like, you don't do that in games that are that big. It was a gift for Texas. So I sound like I'm mad. Look, it helped Texas out. Even before that first inning started, like you said, when it was Caitlin Terry in the circle in that first inning, I'm like, oh, we got to take advantage of this. And they did.
Yes, they did.
Five in the first. And Tegan Kavan, or I should say Texas, is now 68-0 when they give Tegan Kavan a lead of four or more at any point in a game. And they were up 5-1. After the first inning, maybe the most impressive part of Texas putting up that five spot was they went down early, right? Tegan gave up that home run to the second Tech batter of the game. They were trailing. I'm thinking this is going to be a low-scoring affair. And Texas is like, nah, to heck with that. Let's just throw up a crooked number. I mean, the game was over after the first inning, Buck. It really was.
Yes, it was.
So maybe that's why they kept showing the coach so much. It's like, dude, the idiotic decision you made literally cost your team in the first inning of a really, really important game.
I just couldn't understand why they're back so far. I know it's like a little league field that they play on, but my God, you can't let the ball bounce on this Texas team twice on the infield. They're at first, but they're running past the base going like this, safe. They're calling their own thing. We're safe. We know that. And their girls are still back there. I'm like, instead of putting your face up against the fence, how about moving your defense up a little bit, coach? You know, I didn't understand that. Six infield hits.
Six infield hits.
It looked easy. And it looked like they could have got more.
Excuse me, Buck. Yeah, everyone will talk about Katie Stewart's bomb. And you should. But it was a two-run home run because Caden Henry started the game with the bunt single. Right? Perfectly placed bunt. Tech wasn't expecting it. She gets on base, and then boom, a couple of pitches later. I mean, Katie Stewart with a rocket to center field that cleared the bleachers out there. Yeah. That was impressive. I mean, she's so good. 31 home runs now, 4 straight College World Series games with a bomb. But you're right. No, Texas, I mean, Mike White, I think we saw it last year, and we saw it last night. He is coaching circles around Jerry Glasgow. Obviously, give the ladies credit. They're going out there. They're making the pitches. They're hitting. They're getting on base. They're scoring. But Texas clearly has a coaching advantage in this series. And even guys like you and me who aren't always locked into college softball, I think it's obvious for the casual fan to see what's going on right
for
now.
Sure.
And that's why you love Mike White. And he's been there, done that. He's gotten Texas to this series 4 times in his 8 years as the coach. Obviously, last year they won it all. And now he's got them 1 win away from doing it again.
And the move to put the young lady out there in left field who took 5 steps in before she went back was like, really? She hadn't played the whole time, coach? And you're going to put her in now in the game 1?
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise and another gift to Texas. And look, give the bottom of the Longhorns order credit. I mean, we've spent some time talking about Katie Stewart, and how can you not? It's Katie and Kavon once again carrying the load for Texas. But yeah, Ashton Maloney with that 2-run triple in the first inning. You had Kaya Altmaier with one of those infield singles that led to a run in the first inning. I mean, Katie Stewart was only responsible for those 2 runs in the first. Everybody else contributed to help Texas get the 7 across that they did. I mean, contributions from up and down the lineup. You need your stars to be stars. But
I mean,
you also
good softball to play today a little bit. I mean, she's just been there. She's just been a part of it. But, man.
That's one change. Like, you know, Mike White might not make any changes because they won, and they've won now 5 in a row. They're playing great. But if there is a lineup change that he'd consider making, it's moving Leanne Good down from the 5 spot, because she's got 4 hits in 9 games since the Super Regionals. She was the only Longhorn to not get on base last night. I mean, she's a great player. Great player.
Oh, yeah.
And she was huge last year to Texas.
She was
winning
amazing.
It all. And she was great this year during the regular season too. She's struggled in the postseason. So maybe it's like, we're not going to mess with anything because we're playing too well. But if he did, just slide her down a couple of slots. And
yeah, keep her in because she plays a pretty good second base.
You're not taking her out now. She's a senior. No. She's too good. But maybe you flip-flop her with Hannah Wells, or you drop her a couple of spots and put Altmaier ahead of her. I don't know. But yeah, if Texas could get Leanne Good going a little bit, in addition to everybody else who's already going, then they could really take care of Texas Tech tonight.
Yeah, that pitching move by their manager yesterday was just – it just amazed me. I saw them both warming up, and I'm like, well, what are both of them warming up for? Does he expect to pitch with somebody for 3 innings and then bring, you know, somebody in there? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, the lefty is starting. That just seems weird. Like you said, you got your best pitcher, and you're going to wait for the next day?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we haven't talked about Teagan Kavon a heck of a lot. She deserves to be talked about a lot. Complete game, 115 pitches. She picks up her 11th. Women's College World Series win of her illustrious career. The umpire last night, Buck, that might have been the smallest strike zone I have ever seen.
Dude, how about the outside? And she kept hitting the corners and was not getting the calls on the outside.
I mean, we know how good she is with her command, right? She's precision. Yeah. She paints the corners. And the next time she's out there, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, she's going to get those calls. It wasn't like the ump was favoring Texas Tech. It was a tiny zone for both teams. And Kavon, she ended up with 6 strikeouts, which is a decent number. She could have had like 12 or 13 if the ump was calling.
I was surprised she didn't get frustrated, BK, last night, because she would throw one and get the call for a strike, and she would throw the next one outside at the very same spot, and the guy would call it outside. I'm like, wait a minute. This is – I know it's the TV, and I know it's inches we're talking about, but I said this looks like the exact same spot she just threw the ball.
It was a small zone. It was a small zone, tiny zone, like smallest I've ever seen, baseball, softball, I don't care. That was crazy. And for Kavon, we'll let you hear from Tegan Kavon right now. I mean, she gave up that first inning home run. She did it against Nebraska. Leadoff batter, Jordy Fromm hits a homer. Kavon didn't give up another run the rest of the game. Last night, second batter, home run. Kavon only gave up 2 other hits the entire rest of the game. Here's her post-game talking about her mindset despite giving up that early bomb.
Yeah, I think it was kind of similar to our game against Nebraska when I had that home run early too. I know it's not going to be a scoreless game, and they're probably going to get a run. They're good teams, good offenses at some point. And so just kind of tell myself like, oh, well, this is probably going to happen at some point. And so just put my head down, do the work for my team and try to keep us in the game as long as possible.
Yeah, I like when you paint the corners outside and inside, but you don't get the calls, and there's the 2 of the same exact pitches. Yeah, he was a little rough on her last night.